Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Happy you joined us here this evening at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. You know, those things that drive liberals crazy. It's sad that it's true, but yeah, that does. We're thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at the John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Remind you about next Sunday. We'll be having our next live remote. We try and do these once a quarter. Next Sunday, we'll be broadcasting live from the local offices of Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No. We hope you'll tune in. And if not, you can join us in person at the headquarters of AFP down at Union Station. Doors will open at 6 with food and refreshments provided by the good folks at AFP. You can join us for an evening of fun and conversation. The show will be broadcast normal hours 7 to 9, but the doors will open at 6. You can find all the information on the event at the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. There's a link there. You can click that and register, and we'll be broadcasting live next Sunday, but you can join us in person for our next live remote. Tonight, of course, got a full show. Representative Pat Proctor, who is chair of the House Elections Committee, will share how the Kansas House on Thursday voted to abolish all-mail ballot elections. So if there's happens to be an election where they're doing only mail ballots, the House voted to abolish that in the state of Kansas. Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will expose how a new West Wichita fire station is already $1 million over budget, And they haven't even put a shovel in the ground yet. Go figure. Phil Pettit from Americans for Prosperity Kansas will tell us about some events coming up and the judicial selection amendment that's on your ballot this fall. And of course, we'll do our Under the Dome update from Topeka. We do that every Sunday when the legislature's in session. And joining us this week will be the Speaker of the House. Dan Hawkins will be with us here coming up in just about 20 minutes. So, and, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330 all throughout the show. And the studio lines are open now. So we've got a great show. Look forward to hearing from you. Ask and ye shall receive. The phone lines are already ringing. But first, before we do that, I want to talk about something that happened this week in Topeka. And let me say this as plainly as I possibly can. And I want to be very clear about this. The Kansas legislature did something radical earlier this week. They were extreme. They restored common sense. That's it. That's your headline. I could end it right there. By overriding Governor Middle of the Road and her veto of the quote-unquote bathroom bill, the legislature said something that up until, a decade ago in human history didn't require a press release, didn't require a court case, didn't require a protest sign. It was common sense. Bathrooms and locker rooms in government buildings were based on biological sex. When you and I were growing up, that was common sense. Then the left took over. Then the pink hair crazies took over. And, you know, that's when all this, you know, self-declared identity and all this nonsense took over. Because prior to that, it was all pretty common sense. Bathrooms and locker rooms were based on biological self, biological sex, not self-declared identity, not your mood, not your feelings, not what you wrote on your Instagram bio last Tuesday. Biological sex as recorded at birth, period. Full stop. End of story. And breaking news, only biological women can have those periods, that is. And of course, for taking this action, for stating biological reality, Kansas Republicans in the House and Senate are, of course, being called bigots. They're saying it's hatred, intolerance, medieval thinking, economic sabotage, whatever the hell that means. Take your pick. If acknowledging biology is hate speech, then apparently high school science is extremist literature. Protecting women's spaces isn't radical. Pretending sex doesn't exist is. Because for generations, public bathrooms were separated based on sex. Not people's, because people were hateful. Not because society was cruel, but because privacy matters. Safety matters. Boundaries matter. Women and girls deserve spaces where they can undress and shower and change clothes and use the restroom without a dude being present. It's not controversial. It's not extreme. It's civilization. It's courtesy. But Governor Middle of the Road vetoed the bill. The legislature overrode her, and the hysterics from the Rainbow Mafia have been absolutely breathtaking. One Democrat warned that with Kansas helping host the World Cup, where one goes to the bathroom doesn't grow our economy. Really? Look, folks, you don't need a PhD in gender theory to figure out who belongs in the women's locker room. And since when does basic public policy hinge on whether an international sporting event approves of our restroom signage? Literatures are not chambers of commerce. Legislatures, rather, are not chambers of commerce. They're not event planners. They're not PR firms. Their job is to resolve conflicts over how we live together in shared spaces. And when you have a direct collision between biological reality and ideological activism, government has to draw the line. And Kansas drew one. Now, opponents say this law will endanger transgender Kansans. Well, first off, there's no such thing as a transgender person, but whatever. They say it will out people. They say it's cruel. They say it's discriminatory. The left says it's about inclusion. Funny how inclusion always seems to require women giving something up, but that's a secondary notion. Here's what I say. Everyone deserves dignity. But dignity for one group cannot mean erasing boundaries for another. You do not solve one set of concerns by telling women and girls to just get over it. You do not empower women by telling them their discomfort doesn't matter. You do not advance equality by pretending biological differences don't exist. And let's talk about the rhetoric for a second, because this is where the left completely loses the plot. A rabbi in the Senate gallery this week invoked the Holocaust. He yelled, "First they came for the trans people." Well, this is not just wrong, it's grotesque. Comparing a bathroom policy in Kansas to the systemic extermination of 6 million Jews is not moral clarity, it's moral inflation. It cheapens history. It shuts down debate. It attempts to silence disagreement by labeling it genocidal. And that's exactly how the radical left operates. If you disagree, you're a bigot. If you draw a boundary, you're hateful. If you acknowledge biology, you're dangerous. Kansas Republicans didn't pass a manifesto. They didn't close schools. They didn't regulate private business. They didn't shut down churches. They didn't send inspectors into coffee shops. Democrats did that during COVID. They said in government buildings, in schools, in public facilities, funded by taxpayers, bathrooms and locker rooms will be separated by biological sex. They trusted the science. It's narrow. It's clear. It's enforceable. It restores clarity for schools and agencies that have been whipshod by shifting federal guidance and lawsuits. You know what this reality is? It's a rejection of the idea that sex is meaningless. It doesn't matter. Well, apparently it does now. Because the activist position is not to be compassionate. The activist position is sex doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in bathrooms or locker rooms or sports or prisons. And if you think it does, apparently you're the problem. But see, for decades, women fought for sex-based protections. Now we're told that acknowledging those differences is discriminatory. But Kansas said no. And here's the political reality the left doesn't want to admit. Most Kansans agree with this law. Not because they're hateful, not because they're afraid, but because they understand something very simple. Boundaries protect everyone. This isn't about cruelty, it's about clarity. It's about saying common sense is not extremism. The legislature overrode the governor, and in so doing, they sent a message. Kansas will not be bullied by activist outrage. We will not be lectured into silence. We will not be shamed into abandoning biological reality. And here's the line that says it all. Kansas Democrats are for they, them. Kansas Republicans are for you, for your daughters, for your granddaughters, for the right to common sense, for your right to boundaries, and for your right to say biological reality still matters. Common sense prevailed, and for once, sanity isn't silent. We'll take a quick break, and then Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will expose how a new West Wichita fire station is $1 million over budget before construction even begins. This is John Whitmer. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Your phone call is welcome at 869-1330. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Turn it up.
Welcome back. back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Nine unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, pick whoever they want for our Supreme Court. Folks, Kansans deserve a voice in judicial selection. Voters, not lawyers, should decide. If you agree or want more information, visit TakeBackTheBench.com for more information. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, a new fire station in West Wichita appears to be at least $1.25 million over budget before construction even begins, and the Wichita Fire Department is not answering any questions. The new fire station, number 23, is to be located at Pawnee and Mays Road in southwest Wichita, was originally budgeted for $4 million. However, an email obtained by the Sentinel shows that Wichita Fire Chief Elizabeth Snow plans to request at least an additional $1.2 million to complete the station, but is waiting until after the March 3rd sales tax election to do so. With us now to expose a little bit about what's going on is Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute. Dave, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me here, John. It's good to be here.
So, Dave, the email says that she will go to council on March 3rd for final approval to initiate the $5.25 million plan. And for a variety of reasons, it keeps getting bumped, obviously getting bumped now till after the election. Again, primarily the sales tax proposal, which strikes me as a very political reason for delaying it. They obviously don't want to impact the election.
Yeah, well, you know, the email, John, says she says she is writing to someone saying she has been trying to get in. She keeps getting bumped. So, you know, there's two issues here. There's a $4 million project turning into more than $5 million before it even gets started. And then there's the what seems to be a deliberate stall to bring it before city council so that this yet another form of mismanagement doesn't get out into the public until after they get a chance to vote on the $850 million sales tax increase. It seems like, according to the email, that it's city staff somewhere, not council, but somewhere in city administration is saying, no, we're gonna hold this off. We don't want that dirty laundry getting out too soon.
Dave, the total cost for this fire station, including land purchase and the design contract, could balloon to over $6 million. Why is it over budget before the ground has even been broken?
Well, there's certainly a number of things that are in the revised program that we saw, or the design, that indicates that may be the reasons for the overage. For example, it is authorized for one engine and four firefighters per shift. So instead of one bay, it has bays for four engines. And instead of four firefighters, it has space for eight firefighters. It has allegedly an expensive aesthetic roof design. This is unfortunately not unusual. It's kind of the way things go, because in pretty much all the big cities, staff runs the show. And city council is expected to rubber stamp whatever the staff wants. And they're kind of kept in the dark, like they probably were in this case, and not knowing that it's going to cost a lot more than it needs to.
Dave, I mean, just for reference, I live, less than 2 miles from this location. I know right where it's going in or plan to go in. But if the staffing study showed the need for a station at that location, but with only one apparatus, not four, and only four firefighters, not eight, why are they building it out? Why are they growing it to this size? Why are they trying to? I mean, I get that there is construction out there. There's a couple of new housing developments out there. There's a lot of potential for growth out there, but that could be 20, 30 years from now. Why would they be trying to grow it to that four times the size, basically.
Well, the interesting thing seems to be, I mean, why? Because it makes it a more lucrative contract for the architect, for the contractors. There are a lot of companies that make money off of government contracts, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's not the contractor's fault or the architect's fault.
No, it's the city staff's fault.
Yeah, if the city staff says, well, let's do this, let's add some more. And so, sure, they're happy to do it. But you just don't need it.
No.
It's just the way a lot of people think. Well, let's make it bigger.
Right.
Let's make it bigger. Let's make it look nicer. Instead of what is the public need? The first criteria should be what do we need to do to make the public safe?
Right. Well, Dave, I got more for you. We're talking with Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute. I got some new ones for you at that same meeting on March 3rd. And here's some breaking news for those who want to look. The Wichita Eagle ran a story this week about some mitigation issues and some delays in the fire, some issues that the fire department's having. In the link in the Wichita Eagle, they link to the agenda for that March 3rd city council meeting. It's a draft agenda. Mm-hmm. In the draft agenda, there are proposals for the police department. And, I served as a chair for the Kansas Commission on Peace Officer Standards and Training for 6 years. So, I love the WPD. I love the police. I'm a back the blue guy. That being said, here are some line items for the police department on March 3rd. Again, this is after the election. You ready for these?
Sure.
$650,000 for a robot police dog. $600,000 for a police armored personnel carrier. $700,000 for a police negotiator vehicle. And $700,000 for a bomb squad equipment vehicle. Oh, and another $1.25 million for a mobile command vehicle. It's a combined $3.9 million, not for police officers or police stations, just for new police toys. I think my favorite is the $650,000 robot police dog. Some really nice toys, but Dave, can you please explain? I mean, try and explain how you possibly adjust $650,000 robot police dogs when the city's facing budget shortfalls and we got mold remediation that needs to be done. And I mean, this is almost as bad as the $600,000 crappers and the $1 million art project at the water treatment plant.
Yeah. So first of all, we need to keep in mind there's a, as you pointed out, you back the blue. There is a huge difference between the boots on the ground and the administrators who are putting these things together.
Right.
And so it's, when you're questioning these things, you're questioning the administration, not the police.
Absolutely.
Firefighters.
If they wanted to hire 50 cops, I'd be all in for the cops. But how many cops could you hire for a $650,000 robot police dog?
And so the way to analyze this from a taxpayer perspective is, have we had situations where, or even come close to a situation where where lives could have been saved if we had an armored police personnel carrier, if we had a robotic dog? If the circumstances don't exist, we don't have Al-Qaeda hiding out in downtown Wichita.
I don't think so.
So, there could be a case where some of those things might be necessary, but there's nothing that's been put out, to my knowledge, that indicates anything that would and come even close to justifying those kinds of expenditures.
No.
It's unfortunately a lot of these things are like keeping up with the Joneses.
Yep.
Well, the department in Sowetan City has it, so we need it too.
Yep. No, nope, I agree with you, Dave. Well, I appreciate you bringing us the story. Sadly, I think KNSS is still the only media network here in Wichita that's even brought up the fire department, the West Wichita Fire Station. Hopefully, maybe one of the media, the TV stations will bring it up. But I appreciate you, and I appreciate the Sentinel bringing up that story. If folks want to read it, we've shared it on the KNSS website and the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But they can read it at sentinelksmo.org, correct?
That's it. Thanks, John.
Dave, I appreciate you, my friend. Coming up, Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins will bring us this week's Under the Dome update from Topeka. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. During the break, I'm going to figure out exactly what kind of treats you get a $650,000 robot police dog. We'll be back right after that. Come here, Fido. Fido, here, boy. Good boy. Sit. Sit! Sit, dog, sit! Bad dog!
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then. But Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $250 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And you can always listen to us on the Odyssey iHeartRadio or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, every Sunday evening while the legislature's in session, we bring you an Under the Dome update live from Topeka with all the latest. This week, we've got the Speaker of the House with us. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dan Hawkins, for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, Mr. Speaker.
John, it's great to be with you tonight.
Before we get to it, I do have to ask, what kind of treats, what kind of a kibble do you think the $650,000 robot police dog? Gotta ask.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I did want to tell you that the Wichita Property Crime Unit is going to be getting a big award on May 6th. You know, they had a great year and did a really great job, and so they're up for an award.
Well, I'm glad they get an award. Hopefully it comes with some money and they can use that, because I'm not a big fan of a $650,000 robot police dog. And, you know, look,
I hadn't heard about that until I was listening to your show.
Well, and if they were using the money for personnel, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But things like that, that's hard to swallow. But let's start off with the kudos this week. You and Ty overrode Governor Middle of the Road. And, you know, it's so sad that we even have to, at this day and age, that we're still debating bathroom bills. The whole thing is such nonsense. And I watched the coverage once again as you guys were taking this up, and you had to sit there while Democrat after Democrat came down and, you know, called y'all bigots and sexists and homophobes and everything else, and all the, you know, the diatribe of nasty words. You know, this whole thing, it's really unfortunate that you have to go through this every time we're just trying to basically go to common sense on this stuff.
Yeah, you know, John, it gets a little bit old, but when you've been doing this as long as I've been doing it, which this is my last year, nothing surprises me about the Democrats anymore. They came out on some media channel and said that all we were doing is waging culture wars. I told the media outlet that came and asked me about it, I said, you know, I said, that's two bills. I said, we did 150 bills out of the House this year. Two of them were something that they didn't really like, and they just raised all kinds of cane about it. But, you know, that's the Democrats. Kind of used to them. It is frustrating, though.
Yeah, well, and that's this kind of stuff where you just kind of say, okay, especially when it's on an 80-20 issue like this. But that's all right. That's, you know, they've got to pander to their base, and we'll let them do it. One of the other things that you guys, I know, worked on this week was getting cell phones out of classrooms. This is another one that is interesting. I think most parents like the idea, but I understand there was some consternation that came out even on this issue.
Yeah, not so much in the House. We were going to get the votes no matter what. Really, it's kind of on the Senate side. You got two camps over there, and of course, both of them are influential camps, and they don't agree. One really just wants to get something done, really across the board for the kids. This is about kids. This is really, you know, it's a proven fact now that these smartphones are absolutely horrible for kids. In fact, they say it just literally rewires their brain. And you can tell how tethered the world is to a cell phone, and it's just not good for really anybody, but it's really bad for kids. And so, you know, there's one camp that really wants it to be for all kids, and then you have another camp that says, no, you can't force private schools to do that. And so we did pass a bill, passed it over the Senate. You know, it's over there, and they'll figure out what they're going to do. I do think that they'll come together eventually and figure it out, but right now, the big holdup is on the Senate side. So we'll see what happens over there.
We're talking with Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins, and you mentioned you passed it over. That's because this week was turnaround, where the House passes bills to the Senate passes bills over to the House. Some of them are exempt, so they don't have to come, you know, because they've got a little extra time. Has the Senate passed over their property tax plan yet, or is that still over in that chamber?
No, not yet, but they will probably this next week. On Wednesday of next week, we'll do on the House side our tax bill, and we'll also do the budget bill the same day, so it'll be a long day. We'll probably go into the evening on that particular day to get it all done. And I would imagine that the Senate will probably take that up either Wednesday or Thursday, too, on their side, their budget and tax bill, and then we'll see them the following week, and we'll start to work on those. We do want to get both those done. you know, get the, especially the budget bill into conference. We still got some cutting to do. Actually, we haven't done a very good job of cutting spending this year. I was a little bit disappointed. Matter of fact, have worked on the budget all weekend, just looking at it, trying to figure out where we can cut some more money.
At the beginning of session, you indicated your goal was still a couple hundred million. Is that still the goal?
Well, it's still a goal, but I'm not sure that we'll get to a couple hundred million. Right now, both the Senate and the House are over where we were in the budget last year, and the goal was to cut 200 million under what we were at last year. So, you know, the approved budget last year. So we're not there. So we got some work to do, but that's what conference is for. You know how this process works.
Oh, yeah.
We go through the committee process, and, you know, everybody loves to put spending in, and then in conferences where we really get the, you know, some of those things out that got put in. So, you know, conference will be a pretty critical time this year for us to make sure we get where we need to be on our budget.
What else is up for this week? Obviously, you've got now budget and tax, or just a couple of the big ones. What if folks are watching the legislature this week, what else can they look for?
Well, you know, this week when we get back, so Thursday was turnaround. We worked all day Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Late on Tuesday and Wednesday, we didn't go. I think we were finished about 4:30 on Thursday. Senate actually finished theirs on Wednesday evening. You know, so we passed a lot of bills over there. You know, this next week is all about getting all of those bills that pass over to us and get them into committee and start to work on that committee work. So really the things that this week for us just going to be budget and tax. We'll work on both of those. And then all those bills that came over will be going through the committee process. And then probably the following week we'll start seeing stuff pop out. And we'll start working on it. So really, until those start coming out of committee, it's kind of hard to say, you know, what all is going to make it. I can tell you the Senate didn't send us all that much. I don't know for sure how many. They probably sent us maybe around 40 bills, something like that. So we'll start to work on them, and we'll get them out. Probably, you know, when we send them 150, there's no way that they can get through that. You know, they'll probably get through 30 to 40 bills of ours, too. So that's kind of what we're looking at for the rest of the year.
That that means that you guys have a lot on your plate. What kind of timeline are you looking at before the initial first recess, before the initial first end of session?
Yeah, the first adjournment is like, I don't know, 25th or 26th of March. So we have 4 weeks is what we have. When we get back this we come back in on Tuesday, we'll have 4 weeks straight, and then we'll be at first adjournment, then we'll take a week off, and then we'll come back in that around, I think it's 9th, 10th, and 11th of April for veto session. So we've got 4 weeks of solid work here where we got a lot to get done.
Well, Dan, we appreciate you, as always, coming on and giving us our update. And, of course, we'll have you back on the morning show with us tomorrow. If folks want to connect with you, great way to do that. You put out that your newsletter, the Majority Report. What's the best way for them to sign up and get information from you?
Yeah, just go to Dan Hawkins, Kansas. And Kansas is spelled out. It's not KS. It's Dan Hawkins, Kansas is spelled out, .com. Go to the bottom of that landing page, and you can sign up for my email newsletter. Comes out every Friday morning at 6 a.m. That's a great way to follow what we're doing. And we've got a lot of subscribers. I think we're up to about 17,000 subscribers now.
Mr. Speaker, we appreciate you joining us. Thank you again for joining us, sir.
You bet. You take care, John.
Thank you, sir. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take your calls. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, 9 unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, pick whoever they want for our Supreme Court. Kansans deserve a voice in the judicial selection process. voters, not lawyers, should decide. If you agree or want more information, visit TakeBackTheBench.com for more information. And also, don't forget, next Sunday is our live remote. We'll be broadcasting live from the local offices of Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No. Hope you'll tune in. And in this case, you can join us. Doors open at 6. For more information, visit the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. You can find a link there for more information. Terry, you're on the John Whitmer Show.
Good evening, John. I'll be real brief. I've got two quick things. First one is my wife and I had watched, I guess it's Channel 671 on Cox. That's, I think, a sister station for Channel 8. And two different times they advertised that there was a special that they were going to air, and it was on Stop the Sales Tax, you know, vote yes or no. And it never appeared. And the second one, let me throw out in case you check me off here for a second. In the state of Colorado, I had learned today through a good friend and credible, apparently that individual's the wife's sister lives in Colorado, and she said that she and her family were about ready to get out of Colorado, said it's pretty bad. She said that had you heard that the current governor either has passed or is pushing to pass a law to legalize prostitution in the state of Colorado. I was just curious if you'd heard of that.
I do know. I'll take the last one first. I know that there are some, I think it's three or four Democrat lawmakers have introduced a measure to decriminalize basically commercial sex work. Same thing that they've done in, you know, Las Vegas and some of these other states. If it passes into law, then it would repeal essentially criminal charges for prostitution, soliciting prostitution, keeping, you know, whorehouses, for lack of a better term, patronizing a prostitute, all the other stuff. So I don't know if it's the governor. I know that there are Democrat lawmakers that have put the bill, from what I heard. You know, whether they can get it passed, sadly, I lived in Colorado for a few years, lived in Denver area. You know, it's Colorado used to be a reliably red state. It isn't anymore. You know, careful. That's what happens if you legalize marijuana.
that is true.
It's, I don't know. It's tough to see. I can't see them going to this extent, but you never know. It's Colorado. I mean, shoot, it's Colorado's become like the UC Berkeley of the Midwest. You know, it's become pretty liberal. So
imagine that's pretty much where the money is too. Yeah, a lot of power in the money.
There's a lot of money there. There's a lot of, you know, and I mean, there are parts of Colorado that are still fairly conservative, much like, you know, there are parts of Oregon that are conservative. There are parts of California that are still conservative. The problem is, it's just there aren't enough of them. You know, but then again,
it's always in the highly populated urban areas.
Yes.
That's where they want the vote.
That's right. And the rural parts are, and it's, look at Kansas. You know, I mean, Johnson County is sadly, it's become fairly reliably blue. And, you know, fortunately, Sedgwick County, we're still fighting to stay red. And I'm going to try and keep it that way as long as we can. But so, Terry, I appreciate the call. On the other part, you know, Channel 8, I know they've covered it. The Wichita Business Journal has covered the vote yes side a couple times. I think they're going to do a vote no side. The Wichita Eagles done a pretty good job of covering the vote no side on this thing. You know, look, I've heard of some polling data. I think it's pretty obvious where this thing's going. If I had to guess, my guess is this thing fails horribly. Back in 2014, the sales tax, and I know we've had a number of other callers. We will take calls in the second hour, by the way. My guess is in 2014, the sales tax failed in the 60s. I'll bet you this one fails in the 70s. That would be my prediction if I had to make one. But we'll see. Could be wrong. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, Representative Pat Proctor, chair of the House Elections Committee, will share how the Kansas House on Thursday voted to abolish all-mail ballot elections. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We're always here for you. Help us keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 39179 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the Kansas House on Thursday agreed to abolish all-mail ballot elections. Those are elections that are specifically only limited to mail-in ballots. The House voted 72 to 50 to pass a bill repealing the Mail Ballot Election Act, which was sponsored by 21 Republicans, including the chair of the House Elections Committee. And he joins us now, Chairman Pat Proctor. Pat, thank you for joining us. A pleasure to have you with us on the show again, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on, John.
You know, one of the things about this particular bill that I've never liked is this notion of sending out ballots automatically sent to all registered voters. It's one of the things that I think that whole notion, I know Democrats love it, but we see that here in Sedgwick County. They've done that a few times, and I just think that's such an opportunity for fraud, for error, for it creates too many opportunities for election fraud, in my opinion. And so, but did I kind of explain this exactly the right way?
Yeah, you couldn't have said it better, John. First of all, these liberal local governments, they love doing these elections because the only people who send back the ballot are the people who want the bond issue, want the sales tax, whatever they're voting for. And so they put it, they used to put it 2 weeks after New Year's, but last year we made it so you had to do the special elections on March, August, or November on that first Tuesday.
Right.
And so now they'll do it in March, just like they're doing in Wichita right now. But they'll do these mail-in only elections because people who look at the ballot and say, I don't want a bond, they'll just throw it away. And then all the teachers and the city employees will send it in. John, we had an interim committee last year, me and Senator Thompson, and we found out that there are more people on the voter rolls who are 65 years or older than there are humans alive in the state of Kansas who are 65 years or older. Our voter rolls are a mess. And so the idea that we would send a mail-in ballot to every registered voter, even if they've moved, even if they've died, they're going to get a ballot, is just crazy to me. I can't understand why anybody would vote against this.
Yeah, my parents passed away. I mean, my mother, she's going on 10 years ago, and it wouldn't surprise me if they mailed it out if she'd still get one. And that's part of the problem here. It's, again, we're not saying there's fraud. We're just saying there's too many opportunities for it. Yeah. And this is one way to help me. Look, if we don't have, if our elections aren't safe and secure, then nothing is. And this is just another way to ensure election integrity.
Everything that I do is the chairman of the Elections Committee is about restoring confidence in our elections. And whenever we let vulnerabilities go and we don't address them, we're eroding that confidence. And so I was thrilled that we had the chance to pass this measure. We've done a lot of other great stuff on cleaning up our voter rolls, making sure only valid voters are voting. And so, like I said, I'm just glad we were able to get this one across the line. I'm a little confounded that my Secretary of State primary opponent voted against it, but you'll have to have him on and have him explain that another time.
Ken Rajas voted against this?
Yes, Ken Rajas was one of the tiny minority of Republicans that voted against doing away with all mail-in voting, all mail-in ballot voting elections.
Did he give an explanation of vote on that, or?
He did not. He did not. So I hope you'll have him on soon, because I'd love to hear that explanation of vote.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, no, I appreciate that information, because I'm sure he will come on. Interesting.
Yeah.
Another, by the way, we're talking with Chairman Pat Proctor, who is chair of the House Elections Committee and one of the candidates for for Secretary of State. Another bill that you all passed out recently was the bill that eliminated mail-in ballots if the court strikes down the signature verification law. It's another one that, you know, again, I don't understand. It's like the SAVE Act. You know, it's one of the federal government's dealing with right now. I don't understand why Democrats and liberals hate voter ID so much. They hate verification. I just don't understand why the people on the left have so many problems with people verifying their identity when they vote.
Yeah. There's this group of nonprofits, and they hate when I call them this, so I call them this all the time, the Axis of Ballot Harvesting, the ACLU, the League of Women Voters, Loudlight, Appleseed. Every time we pass one of these laws, these common sense laws to make sure only valid votes are being counted, they sue us. And last year, we banned foreign money in elections, which is how they lawsuits, and they're suing me on that law, too. But we've got two laws that I think really get at the heart of trying to attack this lawfare to stop the measures we're passing to restore confidence in our elections. The first one is that one that you mentioned, which is that if, hey, you want to, they're suing us on signature verification. Okay, if you win, we're just not going to do mail-in voting anymore, because if we can't verify that the voter touched that ballot and that that voter that was voted by that voter, then we're not going to count the ballot and we're not going to do mail-in voting. And so that was the first one. But the second one I'm really excited about, it sounds kind of wonky, but what these groups do, like Loudlight and ACLU, is they forum shop. They take all of their lawsuits to Douglas County or Wyandotte County, where they know they're going to get a liberal judge. And so this other law that we passed, this bill we passed at Turnaround, requires that all of those challenges to voter laws be done in Shawnee County, in the, you know, where Topeka is.
Right, so where they get a liberal judge.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, we're going to get better shake in Shawnee County than we're going to get in Wyandotte County or Douglas.
Right. Let me ask you, Pat, let's play a little hypothetical game here, if you would, with me. Let's fast forward to this time next year, and we will leave the Secretary of State's race alone, okay? But let's assume, okay. Let's be optimistic, and let's hope that we have a Republican governor, because God knows we need one. But let's assume we don't have a Democrat governor, because, or Cindy Holscher, which basically means we have a Democrat.
Vicky
Schmidt. Yeah, because basically, if we have Vicky Schmidt, we have a Democrat governor, but. Yeah. So let's assume that we do not have a Democrat governor or Vicky Schmidt. If assuming that's the case, is there a chance that you think the Kansas legislature will do away with these March elections? Because frankly, this whole thing, I mean, right now here in Wichita, as you know, we got this sales tax deal. Unless there's an emergency, there's no reason these municipalities need to do these special elections anymore. And I think we just need to make them, force them to put them on an August or a November ballot. I mean, right now, what we're hearing out of the Sedgwick County Election Office is they're going to be lucky to get 12% voter turnout. And you're talking about an almost $1 billion sales tax measure could be decided by 12% of the population.
Well, yeah, I want to do that. I'm actually, frankly, shocked that we got it restricted to March, August, and November. I was amazed that we were able to override a veto on that. But I'll do you one better. 75% of your property tax bill is set by your school board,
right,
and your city government. Yet they get elected in the odd year, and the turnout's like less than
15%. Oh, yeah, same problem.
In most municipalities. So this bill that would have moved all the elections to the even year, so that, you know, whether presidential election, governor election, will also be voting the city government, so we can get more participation in those races and hold those local governments that are the reason that our property taxes are out of control, hold them accountable. But the school, you know, the Association of School Boards, Kansas League of Municipalities, the teachers unions, they came out of the woodwork to kill it.
Of course they did.
I probably could have got it through if I had a Republican governor, but we have to get a supermajority in both houses to override the governor's veto. So I am, you know, if I'm Secretary of State, It's going to be on a legislative agenda because we need more participation in those elections. That's the way you fix property taxes. Everything else that the legislature is doing is just eating around the edges.
I agree with you completely. And while we're at it, let's make them partisan. My friend, I wish you the best of luck. If they want to connect with you, obviously you've got a campaign you're running. What's the best way for folks to reach out and connect with you?
Well, Pat Proctor for Kansas Secretary of State on Facebook is where you can always find me, but Pat Proctor, the number 4KS.com.
Pat, I appreciate you. Thank you again. I will reach out to Ken. We'll invite him on the show. We'll ask him that question for you.
I'll be listening to that show.
I'll bet you will. Thank you, my friend. Best of luck.
All right. You have a great evening. Thank you, John.
Coming up, Phil Pettit from Americans for Prosperity Kansas will tell us about a couple of events coming up here in Wichita and the importance of the judicial selection ballot initiative that'll be on your August primary ballot. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back after this.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We Share Health. We got you.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to tell you about the next day of action with the great folks at AFP. It's coming up this Saturday, the 28th. It's a great way to help mobilize grassroots activists for legislative advocacy, door knocking, and phone banking here in Wichita and, frankly, all across the state of Kansas. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org for more information. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And with us now to tell us a little bit about their day of action and the other stuff, they've got some other great events coming up, is Phil Pettit. He is with AFP Kansas. Phil, thank you for joining us this evening. Always great to have you guys on the show, my friend.
Oh, it's always great to be on, John. I appreciate all that you do and just our partnership we have. And I know you've come on a lot of these days of action with us, so I'm excited to get out there again on Saturday.
Well, and we get nice weather, so that's nice, which is, you know, we've been out there when it's snowy and rainy, and it's like we're like the post office, rain, sleet, snow. We always get out there. So at least this way it'll be nice weather for us. But you know, one of the things that I know folks have been, you know, we're out there, we're talking to folks. One of the biggest issues, obviously, you know, when you guys are advocating for candidates, it's one thing. But it was funny. I don't know if you attended the debate, the gubernatorial debate. And, you know, one of the questions I think that Andy Hoosier asked was about the judicial selection. And Ty Masterson actually said, you know, hey, I want to be governor. But he said the biggest issue for him, obviously, he said, I want to be the next governor. But almost more important than the governor's race, and this was coming from one of the governor candidates, was the judicial selection thing that's going to be on the ballot in August. And I still get people who say, and, you know, this is one of the things that we're out when we're door knocking on these days of action, is on this judicial selection. Yet there are still people out there who don't understand it, who don't understand how important it is, and frankly, who don't understand how much of a big deal this could impact, not just on a gubernatorial level, but on how this could impact Kansas for decades.
Oh, yes. Like you said, I was there at a couple different debates, and I heard Ty and a couple other candidates speak highly about how important this is. But it's not just the most important for our state this summer, but this is one of the most important votes we've had in years and will have in years. This is truly, like you said, this will impact decades. And that's how we see at the doors when we're out there. A lot of people, and we have different events also, but a lot of people just either don't know about it. Some people don't understand it, like you said.
Yeah.
So our big work, our big task is making sure we just get the word out to people and make sure they know about this vote coming up and how it's going to impact their lives and what they can do about it to change it. You know, a lot of people are unaware about the current system. And so we found a solution, and we're excited to get it across where we make it an elected position. And some people, just not even just some people, I would dare say most people are not aware about that in the state right now. And so we got a lot of work to do before August. And so we're going to be having these days of action at least once a month, sometimes twice a month as we get closer to it. If you can't make it out this Saturday, well, we will be having more. I encourage anyone who's interested in learning more about that. We actually, John, we have our own Kansas Americans for Prosperity website now. So if you go to ks.americansforprosperity.org, you can go there. You can find out more information about this, about other issues we're working on. But you can also sign up to be a volunteer there. So if you're interested in going out and door knocking, making phone calls, or any other part, we have different events. You can go to that website and sign up there, and then me or one of our other AFP people around the state will reach out to you and get some things set up where you can actually get real movement and educate people on this issue. So I'm really excited about that. That just happened recently, so I'm excited to get a lot of movement there.
Yeah, I you know, there's one thing. You mentioned the other gubernatorial candidates. You know, at that Cowley County Forum, we had them all there. And you're right. Yeah. Every single one of them, except Vicky Schmidt. Vicky, and I'm not going to put you on the spot there. I will say that, that every other candidate said that they supported the, except Vicky. Vicky does not support the judicial selection. She's an opponent. She doesn't support it. She disagrees with it. If you want to know why, I'll let the listeners call her and ask her. We've tried to invite her on the show so far. She's choosing not to come on. And Phil, let's try and pull that so that we can have that maybe for a future show, because I doubt Vicky's going to come on. But you're right. You're right, Phil. She wants to, or, you know, people want to know more. And it's interesting because this, you know, we're the only state in the country that does this, where you have these 9 unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, pick who they want for our Supreme Court. And whether you like the idea or not, I mean, you know, even at the federal level, there's an elected process. There's a representative process, because at least there's Senate confirmation. You've got some way that the public, that Joe Lunchpail has a representative process here. Not in Kansas. You find out when the press informs you that the governor made a selection. Even the governor doesn't really have a choice in the matter, does she?
No. She has the 3 candidates that the commission board gives to her. And if she doesn't pick one of those 3, then I believe it goes to the, I want to say it's the attorney general. It's not the attorney. I forget exactly who it is, but like, she does not have that choice.
Right. No, she doesn't get to pick. I mean, exactly. It's the commission gives her names, and it's not like she even gets to submit names. It's the commission gives her the names, and she has to pick one of those. So there's no representative process. And that's, I think, what frustrates so many people in this whole thing. And I think that's what I think people need to understand. There's no democratic process here. There's no transparency. There's no way for people to have their voice in this process whatsoever.
Right. One of the things I hear a lot about people is they're afraid that if you make it an elected position, it's going to get too partisan or political. And one of the questions I ask them at that point is, like, can you name any of the current Supreme Court justices? And 9 out of 10 times, they can't even name one. They don't know of any.
Right.
And so, like, it's already partisan. It's already political. They just are trying to keep you in the dark about what's going on.
Exactly.
But making an election, we're going to bring a lot more into light to where things are not being done so shadily and in the dark.
No, I think that's a good example. I agree. We're talking with Phil Pettit from Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. So you've got that event obviously coming up on Saturday. That's your monthly day of action. If folks want to come out, they can go door knocking with you. They could, it's an opportunity to educate voters. They can do phone banking as well, correct?
That is correct. We'll have some phone banking available, both on this, I believe, if you're interested in phone banking or door knocking. Again, go to our website. That's at ks.americansforprosperity.org. And then there's a place there we can go to sign up to get more information. And there's an option there. If you click the volunteer option there, then somebody will be reaching out to you to talk about the volunteer opportunities we have on Saturday. Or if you do it after or later than Saturday, we'll talk more about it afterwards then. So that would be, if you want to sign up, that's the best way to go about it, and just go to the website, sign it up there.
And then Sunday, we'll be broadcasting live from your offices at Union Station, where we'll have the Save Taxpayers Vote No folks will be with us, and we'll be broadcasting our show from your headquarters down there at Union Station, correct?
That's correct. It's going to be a great time. I know we've done that a few times, I want to say 3 or 4 times already, and everyone always has a good time. I enjoy it. I enjoy hearing all the people on the radio, but also the conversations that come out of it with the other people there. It's always fun. We always have good food. But most importantly, like, it always is on topic to what's going on. So I just enjoy it. Just the amount of information and learning that I get to go from there, and just different people I meet, like-minded, and sometimes even not like-minded people, just coming in with a new perspective and being able to have those conversations that I think it's awesome. I always enjoy it.
Well, and it's always fun to see the audience and see the audience reactions. I know Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle will be joining us which is always fun. You know, it's the other thing that's funny is the one time we won't be disagreeing on is the sales tax. Dion actually happens to be in agreement. He also hates the sales tax. Now, he hates it for a different reason than we do, but, you know, ironically, he and I will at least be agreeing on that. Now, we'll probably find something else. Lots of other things we'll disagree on, but it'll be interesting to have. We probably won't be discussing the sales tax too much with Dion because we won't be. Dion, do you hate it? Yes. John, do you hate it? Yes. Okay, moving right along. But you guys have a whole bunch of other stuff coming up throughout the year, and if folks are interested, again, if they want more information or they want to volunteer, they can visit ks.americansforprosperity.org, correct?
That is correct. That is the place to go. We have a lot going on up there. There's also articles up there about different things we're working on the state level and on the federal level. One big win we just had at the state house was on judicial deference. I encourage you guys to look into that, but it's a big step towards restoring balance and accountability here in Kansas. So I'm really excited about that one. That's already a big win we got here so far, but there's information, there's places to sign up. We have a lot of movement there going on that website. So even if you're just wanting more information or if you want to volunteer, that's the place to go. It's awesome. I know I should say that, but I honestly, I love it. It's a good resource for me as well.
All right. Well, perfect, my friend. Yeah. I will see you on Sunday. And again, if they folks are interested, they can get more information at ks.americansforprosperity.org. And we will see you Sunday. And if they want to, again, they go to the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and they can register for Sunday's live remote there. So they make sure we have an idea on the headcount for food and stuff.
That is correct. That's awesome.
Perfect. I appreciate you, Phil. We'll see you Sunday.
All right. See you Sunday, John. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then we'll take your calls for the rest of the show. I'm turning the mic over. Oh, my goodness. Who knows what could happen? You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. All hell's going to break loose. We'll be back right after this. For a minute there, I thought this was "Don't Worry, Be Happy."
I thought we needed something to kind of liven up the mood.
Okay,
it's cold outside. This makes me think gotcha. It's like 80 degrees.
Okay, I got you, man. No problem, man. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, man. Want to remind you to stay informed with up to the minute news, man, by telling Alexa or Google Home, man.
Is this the part where you said all hell breaks loose?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it's off the rails at this point.
Carry on.
I don't know what we've already. This thing is. What the hell? Who's up? Nick, you're on. Oh, my goodness. Well, now I know why you played that. Why don't we just get the Cheech and Chong music out? Nick, you're on the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 to 1330 KNSS. Okay.
God bless you, John. I want to start with the 650,000 dog.
Oh, yes.
Robot dog.
The robot dog.
The cannabis issue or the governor's race or what?
I turned the reins over to the callers. You pick the topic, brother. It's up to you.
All right. Well, here's what I want. I don't want Vicky Schmidt being governor.
Amen, brother. You and me, your lips to God's ears.
Here's what I'm scared about is Ty, Scott, and Jeff, because one of the reasons they might lose is the cannabis issue, are going to just hand over the Republican primary to Vicky Schmidt, just like Kobach lost and Schmidt lost over liberty issues.
Well, I don't think marijuana is enough of an issue to limit. I mean, here's what the field's going to have to narrow. We're still early. But I will tell you that by April or May, certainly May, but by April, this field's going to narrow. And you're right. If you've got Scott, Jeff, Joy Akins, and Ty, I mean, if there's still four and then Vicky's the fifth, we're going to have a problem. But by April or May, the field will narrow. It's going to have to. And I'm not, you know, I'm a county chair, but I'm not one of the mucky mucks in the smoke-filled rooms, but at some point there's going to be those conversations. And, right. and the conversations are going to start to happen if they aren't already. I would think I think one of those players will probably be, you know, currently lives on Pennsylvania Avenue. And at some point, those conversations are going to happen, and that may fix it. Now, if it gets down to Ty or Jeff or Scott and Vicky, if it's a two-person race, Vicky Schmidt will never win. She only wins if it's a three- or four-person race and Vicky. Then she can win the primary. She cannot win the primary if it's her and one or two others. Her only path is three or four and her.
And that's why I love Senator Ty Masterson so much, is because he does believe in truth. He does believe in, well, I don't know about the one man, one woman marriage thing. I would assume so. But he is against abortion. He's for judicial selection. He's for safety for women. I would argue maybe we need to worry about more constitutional law enforcement, limited government, and low taxes. But if you could guarantee that you would win with the liberty issue of cannabis, I think that it would help the cause. But you know what? I've been dealing with this from the Republicans for 10 years now, and if they don't want to see the forest for the trees and spite themselves because of a liberty issue, then we might just have another Republican or a Democrat governor or a Rhino governor come in. That's whatever. But it is interesting to see that we have Senate Bill 393 coming up for a hearing in Senate Commerce that would authorize the sale of alcoholic beverages 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as much as I love the safety over liberty debate, it is interesting on how many alcohol bills we can get through public consumption and everything else with the violence and issues with alcohol use. But
I haven't seen that one. That's
green leafy plant, and everybody goes crazy. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with that bill in the Commerce Committee.
I haven't seen that one. That one will be interesting. 24-hour liquor sales, huh?
For the duration of the FIFA 2026 World
Cup. Whoa. So they want to be able to allow you to...
narrowly tailored.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's during, sort of like a common consumption rules. This would be during FIFA, you could drink 24 hours, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. We need more drunks.
Yeah. One other issue that I wanted to come up with that has to do with the cannabis issue is the National Rifle Association and NORML, the National Organization for Marijuana Laws, have actually united to oppose the federal gunman for cannabis users, which I think there's a Hamani case coming up in March. But hopefully this will all come to the head and we won't have to talk about it anymore. I don't think it's the world's problems in Colorado, but the federal government, if they were to get out of it and let the states do what they want to, maybe we could come back to some decent common sense. But hey, John, I love your show as always.
Thank you, brother.
And thank you for doing what you do. We'll keep, hopefully, maybe we can stop debating this stupid green plant issue sometime. But you keep up your jokes, and I'll keep calling with some serious stuff, and we can go back and forth. But anyway, God bless you, John. You have a good day.
I appreciate you, Nick. Nick is always always good for a laugh or two. Let's see here. What time? We're going to take a quick break, and then I've got Kay and Tom. We will hold you over through the break, and then we will take your calls as soon as we get back. We'll take a quick break, and then Kay and Tom, we will get to your calls. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. And I'm going to chase down that $650,000 robot police dog. It left a puddle of nuts and bolts in the corner. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio, or by listening to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, next Sunday, our next live remote will be broadcasting live from the local offices of Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No. Hope you'll join us live at on location downtown at the Union Station. You can always tune in, of course, as well. Doors open at 6. Food, refreshments, we'll have a blast. And, of course, you can get more information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Kay, thank you for sticking around. You're on the John Whitmer Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, John. By the way, the nuts and bolts in the corner thing, that was really funny.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to figure out how much debris, shall we say, will be left over by that $650,000 robot police dog.
Yeah, well, you never know. But, hey, I know your time's important, and I just wanted to say I've heard talking heads argue on TV, you know, argue that Trump's tariffs have weakened his America First approach. Today on the news, I heard a local pet store owner that had a huge grievance against Trump because he had hundreds of dollars of merchandise sitting on a dock in China, and he was saying it was all Trump's fault. When are people going to, you know, get rid of the Trump derangement syndrome and step up and take some accountability for their own actions?
Yeah, I mean, that would be my take on it. I mean, I think you could make an argument one way or the other on whether you like the tariffs or whether you don't like the tariffs. But ultimately, free trade is only fair trade if both sides play by the rules. And I think that's probably the argument that the president would say. First off, you know, if you're using, in the case of the, you know, this pet shop owner, you know, maybe he should buy his merch from an American made company instead of a cheap, you know, Chinese product. And then he wouldn't have to wait for it to be shipped in. And I think that's part of what the president was hoping for, is that companies or businesses like the pet shop guy would be buying his product American made instead of Chinese made. And then it wouldn't cost him as much because he wouldn't be paying the tariffs. But I think the other issue is countries like China use subsidies, currency manipulation, intellectual property theft in order to undercut American manufacturers. And tariffs level the playing field by offsetting those advantages. So the goal is to just, you know, make the game more fair. And hopefully then that manufacturer of that, you know, whatever it is, product, squeaky toy or harness or whatever, will then bring his manufacturing here to U.S., manufacture the product here, and create jobs here. And I think that's the goal from the president from day one. That's my guess.
Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that, because I was thinking along the same lines. I mean, why can't some of these manufacturers come to America?
They can.
Create jobs here and start manufacturing here.
That they can. And I think from this, you know, ideally tariffs are not anti-trade. They're pro-American. They're pro-American worker. They're pro-American business. And folks just have to give the president time to let this work. All of this is going to take time, and he's trying to reset the whole playing field and level the playing field, and he's using it as negotiating leverage, and it takes time. I mean, that would be my guess, but, you know, then again, I can barely balance my checkbook, so what do I know?
Let's not go there, because I sure don't do very good on mine either, but I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was thinking, am I just thinking off the cuff, and am I completely wrong? Because Trump derangement syndrome in America today is insane.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it, Kay. I completely understand where you're coming from. So I hope that answers your question.
It did. Thank you very much, and I'll let you get back to cleaning the nuts and bolts in the corner.
Yeah, knowing the city of Wichita, they'll pay somebody to do that. Thank you, Kay. Tom, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Hey, John, called you before. I'm a retired music teacher, and I can tell you from experience that 10 years ago, I was working at a school here in Kansas where the teacher had this huge thing on her wall built so that the kids, when they walked in the door, would drop their phones in this pouch and not touch them the whole class. And there was never any argument or any problem. They just knew at the end of class, unless there was an emergency, to pick up their phone.
And that's the ideal way this should work. That's it's not brain surgery. That's really the way it should work. You set your phone down because otherwise it's a distraction. And of course, like you said, if there's an emergency or parents need to get a hold of their kids, then you can make that happen. Really, you know, the only people who are objecting to this are the unions and the administrative organizations that don't like losing control. But, you know, look, the legislature is the power of the purse, and therefore they should have the ability to dictate policy because, frankly, they're representing the people and not the unions.
Well, you'll get a kick out of this because what replaced that was back during the time of fidget spinners.
Oh, yeah.
And they were driving us all crazy.
I remember the fidget spinner. Yeah, that way. Yeah, I remember those fidget spinners. But Tom, I appreciate that. That's a you make a good point. And that's really I don't understand the objection to the cell phone. You know, this whole controversy. I don't think it's controversial. I think again, this is another of those 80-20 issues. And I appreciate the call, Tom. I want to get to one thing real quick. I don't have a whole lot of time, but I got a letter actually from a listener. From Dale, who sent a letter last week, and I just wanted to kind of thank him for it. He'd heard a conversation that we'd had on the we had a conversation. I don't know, Phil, you remember we talked a little bit about the cost of running for office.
Yes.
And how much. Yes. So, So we got a letter here from Dale, who sent a letter here to the studio about, you know, how much it costs to run for office and the different parameters. And he went into a little bit about, you know, how much it costs and the financial implications of running for different levels of office. And I don't want to get into the letter, but I just wanted to thank him. I thought it was really nice for, and I get these, Pat, you know, Pat who calls the station a lot, Pat writes a lot of letters. But so I appreciated that Dale and Pat who write letters to the station here. And of course, at the end of it, he prays to God for blessings of our nation and Kansas. And he's a military veteran.
God bless him.
Yes. And he went to was born at West Point Military Academy in 1953.
Oh.
And so I just want to thank him for the letter. I thought that was really nice.
Thank you for his service, too.
And yes, so I appreciate that. It's really nice to get a letter from our listeners. So, you know.
How is your hate mail bag or your mail? Is it about even?
Well, you know, it's just well, like, you know, tonight when I talk about the transgender issue, that it tends to fill up a little.
I shouldn't be that way. I know that you get fan mail, but I'm sure you get both.
You get these nice letters, and it balances out the crackpot letters. So
the nuts and bolts letters?
The nuts and bolts letters, or the nuts and crackpots letters. Yeah, it is what it is. That's fine. I take the good with the bads.
Very good.
In the meantime, have a great week, and we will be ready and chomping at the bit next week for our live broadcast at Americans for Prosperity downtown. So in the meantime, look forward to seeing everybody there at Union Station next Sunday.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.